Tonight is the 27th of June, 2004, and the Sunday night speakers meeting of Narcotics Anonymous welcomes our second speaker, Mark.
Internet Mark.
Hi, my name's Mark. I'm an addict.
Hi, Mark.
And I want to thank Jim for making me speak.
Because, no, I'm just kidding.
I've never spoke before, but I've always wanted to because I see you guys doing it, and, you know, it's a sign of progress. You know, and I'm all for progress. Plus, I get free water. That's kind of cool. But, leave that alone. But, anyway, yeah, I was raised in Texas, and to a pretty, you know, middle class, upper middle class family, you know, didn't want for anything. And I was a rotten kid from day one, and I don't know why. You know, you try to evaluate what's going on, you know, well, that's what I'm doing nowadays, trying to evaluate what went wrong and all that. And I don't know what, if anything, they did wrong. I was just, you know, like you were lying, you know, you were a good liar. Well, I was a good everything, and I was, and it was all bad. And it didn't bother me. I mean, it's just my philosophy when I was young was, what are they going to do? Kill me? What are they going to do? Kill me? Until I got about 17 years old, I said, oh my God, they're going to kill me. You know, and it was, you know, we smoked pot when we were kids. We, you know, poured water in our parents' vodka bottles after we drank their vodka, clean up their parties and drink their drinks. And, I think knowing it was wrong was probably half the appeal. And I had some friends who had older brothers, you know. Back then, it was, thank God they were older, you know, because there was instant connections. And we smoked pot and, you know, we did everything. Reds, 1 year, acid, 1 year. 1 year we did all of them. And it just, I don't know, it just seemed like that was my whole childhood in high school. I mean, that's what you did. Friday nights you went out and got drunk, got to keg parties, and there was always pot and then, you know, Reds and Quaaludes and, you know, all those things they don't make anymore. And somewhere along the line, cocaine got, you know, we were snorting cocaine. I was married. Well, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. Maybe not. Anyway, I got married and that was probably after high school. And, you know, we could get like a little quarter gram of Coke and, you know, it would last a weekend. It was nothing, no big deal really. You know, just do a line here and there. And then I met this friend of mine. I used to work at this place and I started working for another place. Anyway, I ran into this guy and he was a good guy. We were buddies and we kind of lost contact with him. And I ran into him. And he's a heroin addict now. Well, I mean, I didn't try that, so you know, we progressed right into that, and that was the one that, you know, kind of set me for a spin, and because it was my favorite, and I've tried everything, and so that's what I did. I mean, I started doing that, and of course you put some cocaine in with it, but. So I did that for years and years and years. And then ended up getting divorced over it. I have a little 23-year-old daughter right now. Back then she was 3. And anyway, so my family, my wife, everybody, I didn't care about anybody. You know, it was just, I cared about getting high. And I would rob your house and, you know, and then tell you who I thought probably did it, and just, you know, it was horrible. I think back at what I did, and it amazes me that I could do. I've done some things that I'll never ever tell you or anybody else. I mean, I just, there's, you know, I've done some things that I'm really ashamed of as far as crime goes, and all along thinking I'm a pretty good guy, you know. I mean, I'm a nice guy, except that, you know, it costs a couple $100 a day to keep me loaded. And so I had this bright idea that I'm going to leave Texas, come to California, because I don't want to, my wife and my daughter and my family, you know, my problem's starting to get a little too close to them. at that point, other than robbing my dad's house, I'd never done anything against any family member. And so I decided I'd come to California to, you know, go see the beach. And didn't realize I was just coming out here to go to prison. So I came out to California. And it was okay for a while. You know, I ran in. I'm, of course, homeless. You know, you come to California. And, well, I was homeless. I didn't have any money. I actually rode a freight train out here with another guy. And that was kind of cool, actually. But did you know that? So I rode a freight train out here like a hobo. And anyway, so I got out here. I was in Long Beach. And, you know, we're doing, oh, and there's a new drug out here called crack. And that was also part of the beach appeal for us to come out here, because we thought it was a new drug. You know, we'd been freebasing in Texas for years. We had no idea that this was the same crap, only not as good. But so anyway, off we come to California, and we landed in Long Beach, and you know, get right into the little homeless dope fiend crowd. You know, it doesn't take long. Yeah, I mean, any city you want to, if you want to get loaded in any city, just go to the methadone clinic. You know, that's the, because they're everywhere. You can always find out where to go from there. So anyway, we're doing little petty crimes and stuff. And then one of the guys has this bright idea. Well, hey, look, this guy's got dope. He sells dope. Let's rob his house. So, you know, I don't really like doing stuff like that. So I said, sure. And we went and we robbed this guy's house. There was no dope, but there was a gun. And so that was, you know, that was great. You know, now we're robbing liquor stores, and you know, it's just, you know, like Bonnie and Clyde. It was great. And I had everybody on the floor at the Denny's right by the Long Beach Mall, and I got like, I don't know, $400, and I got 5 years too. But and that was in '88, and that was the first of my 5 in a row prison sentences that I've done. And each time I get a new crime, because I'm going to change my, you know, I got to figure it out this time. Well, a couple of, let's see, not this last one, but the one before that, I had this girl that I was riding, and she went to Claire, and she was riding me from there, telling me how great her life was, this, that, and the other. Never did hear from her again, but anyway, so I had it all planned out. That's what I was going to do. And I got out, and that's where I went. And I went to Claire. This was the time before this last time. And I went to Claire, and it's the first time I've been around. I've been to a couple of AA meetings in prison, you know, because they had free coffee there, and that's, you know, you could get free coffee. But I'd never heard anything about the 12 steps or anything like that until I went to Claire. And you know, I thought it was pretty neat. I mean, for one thing, just me being there, I'm out of prison, and I'm someplace where I can still call my family, because any other time I'm out of prison, I can't call anybody, because I'm running from somebody. So, you know, or just doing what you do to stay loaded out there. You know, I work 11 hours a day now, but it's like half time compared to the way I used to work getting loaded. It was hard, but anyway. so I'm at Claire, and I'm listening to them. I'm listening to the panels. I'm going to the meetings, and I'm thinking, you know, this is cool. This, you know, I can apply myself here and give this a try. And I met him, like, I don't know, my second week or so in Claire. And, you know, the literature, you know, stay with the winners, get somebody that you want what they've got, you know, and he's got a nice car. So that was good enough for me, because I didn't have a car at all. So I asked him to be my sponsor, and he was good. He's a good dude. I mean, you go to meetings, this last few weeks I've been hearing things about him at meetings, and it just, you know, it's amazing. What a guy. And I mean, he's everything. Yeah, he's everything his program's supposed to be. You know, you ask him to do something, he does it. You know what I mean? He's just, anyway, don't get a big head or nothing. So he has me, we go to this Wednesday night meeting every Wednesday in Culver City together. He comes and gets me, and we go, and it's great, I love it. And kind of like tonight, he gives me this chip commitment, and I loved it, and it was great, I loved it. And I got a little plastic box with the compartments to put the chips in. I mean, I was all into it. Well, about 11 months into this, I'm chipping away. I'm living in a sober living. I'm doing heroin in the bedroom, and my roommate, I'd come to find out, well, I keep hearing this lighter go off, you know, all night long. And I finally go peek in there, and he's in there smoking crack. Well, you know, I'm in the back, I'm slamming, we're hiding from each other. So that's shit, now we got all the lights on, we're both sitting out there partying together, doing both of them. And anyway, Tinny, I'm thinking, here comes my birthday's coming up, and I hope he forgets, because I'm going to fix all this. I'm strung out as a research monkey by this point, but I got a plan. I'm going to fix it. And he forgot. There's no way. He calls me up and says, hey, I'm going to take you out to dinner tonight. We're going to get you a cake before the meeting tonight. So, and I told him, I said, dude, I'll buy you dinner. You know, because I was still working at this point. Now, I remember I crashed them. I was working at the airport. I crashed my van with a family in it going out of town. I'm loaded. I crashed the van with a family. I still had enough sense, and I wasn't driving again ever. So this beat up van sat in front of the sober living until I got kicked out. But anyway, so we went to dinner, you know, and Kenny tells me, that's Kenny, you know, let me give him an address. And he tells me, he goes, let's pack all your shit up, and I'll take you right back to Claire. We'll get you in there. And no, I've got stuff now, you know what I mean? And I fucked up. And he told me long before, he goes, if you know, I'm here for you. If you get loaded, don't call me. Call me when you stop getting loaded, I'll come get you or something. And he wasn't kidding. I mean, you know what I mean? He wrote, a matter of fact, you're on some, writing something here and there somewhere. But anyway, he was, you know what I mean, he cut me loose. And but he was there during the time that, you know, he was a good sponsor, he's a good guy. So anyway, I go back to, let's see, what I do that time. Credit cards. Anyway, I got busted for credit cards. I was shopping for the connection, and of course the credit cards weren't mine. But anyway, so I went back to prison. I went back to prison again, and I liked to shop. It was cool, you know. But especially when you don't get a bill. But so anyway, I go back to prison. I have my brother call him because, you know, I'm in prison. I'm clean. You know what I mean? Well, when you first get there, you are. And, you know, I'm thinking clearly again, and I fucked up, so let's just not make this the end of the world. I mean, you're in prison, it's like, you know, it's like fourth time in a row, that part of it wasn't going to be a big deal. And, so I had my brother call him, and my brother says, he didn't sound too enthused, but he gave him my address, and the fucker never wrote me. But when I got out the last time, he says, well, I couldn't find your address or whatever. But anyway, so check this out. So I get out. Anyway, so I'm in prison. I got this last time. My last terms, I get four. I'm a three striker. So they can give you 25 to life. And so they tell you that right off the bat. And then they give you whatever they want to give you. And I have two strikes, so we need the third felony, you know. So they give you whatever they want to give you. So the last two times in a row, I get four with 80, which is unbelievable love as far as the courts go. And they come at you with one time, you got 5 minutes to make up your mind. What are you going to do? You know, thank you very much. You know, so anyway, so I'm in prison. I use the first year, and then, you know, I'm talking to my family and stuff. Just, you know, I can talk to them because, I mean, it's hard to talk to them or call or anything else when you're getting loaded because you don't want to call family when you're getting loaded. So only about a year into it, you know, I just said, you know what, I'm going to stop getting loaded in here. And, you know, there was AA meetings there. And, but, you know, to be honest with you, you've been to prison, you know, you don't go to them. And, you know, if you're a drug program prison, maybe, but people just don't go to them. So I didn't. You know, I got the book, I got the NA book, It Works How and Why, and the basic text, and I read those. But for the last, right at 2 years, I didn't use at all. And, you know, there's drugs everywhere in prison. It's nothing to get drugs. And, you know, I had to tell all the homeboys and stuff that, you know, just don't even ask anymore, because it's, I don't want, you know, hit, you know, something, as soon as something hits the yard, you know, if it's in your car, you know, they're going to come, hey, we got this, we got that. You know, don't even ask anymore, you know what I mean? Because I'm, you know, I don't want to do it. So, you know, I did. I mean, it was the first time I've ever, you know, I figured it out one day. It's like 15 or 16 years of actual incarceration time. And, you know, getting loaded or trying to get loaded the whole time. And being just as scandalous as you could in prison, you know, you can't get too scandalous or you end up getting killed, but it's, you know, putting it right on the line there to get loaded. And so I get out and I go to a halfway house in South Central L.A., which isn't really my neighborhood, you know? And, but, you know, it was semi out of me. I could go out during the day. So I called Kenny. I still remember his phone number after all that time. Well, it's actually tattooed right here, but. So I called Kenny, and I'd saved some money, and I had like $5,000 from a grandmother that died. My brother was holding on to it. And so I had this plan. I was going to, you know, I'm already not getting loaded. I'm going to go to meetings. I'm going to go to a truck driving school. I mean, in my age, what are you going to do? I mean, I can't. I got to do something. I don't have any. All I know how to do is, you know, crime. So I go to a truck driving school. But anyway, so I call Kenny, and I tell him, look, this truck driving school starts a month after I get out. And it's in Van Nuys. And I have enough money to get to Van Nuys and go to the school, but I don't want to have to drive back and forth to the school. So after almost four years, Kenny lets me come and stay at his house for a month. You know what I mean? And I'm, of course, me and the cat are pretty good friends, but he didn't really want to. I mean, I know that, but he let me stay there, and it was because I was clean. He doesn't just take people. It's not a halfway house by all means. But he let me come and stay there with just no. I mean, I couldn't pay him, and he wouldn't let me. It was just, I mean, unbelievable. I told him 1 month, and sure enough, at the end of that month, I went to a sober living in Van Nuys, or in the valley, in Northridge. So anyway, so I went to the truck driving school. I'm coming over, and Igor, another friend of his, you know, who I know, they had a car waiting for me and everything else. Well, I had to pay for it, but anyway, they found a car for me, so I got this car, and you know, all of a sudden I'm legal. I've got insurance. I've got a car, and I go to this truck driving school, and I think that's probably the only thing I've ever actually finished in my whole life was getting my Class A license. And so I got a job driving a truck, and I work in the valley, and I'm going to meetings. I was going when I was at Kenny's. I was going about, you know, probably five times a week, and he goes to three meetings regularly, but he went to these five meetings a week with me, sometimes six, and I think the first week we went every night. But he, you know what, he went with me every night. He didn't want to. I mean, he goes to his three meetings a week, but we went. And we went out of town, you know, he asked me, did you go? You know, when I talked to him on the phone, he'd call, and he did you go to the meetings, and this, that, and the other. And I like going. I drive over here from the valley for Saturday Night Live in this meeting, and I know it's not enough meetings. That's the two meetings I go through a week. I work 11 hours a day, and I'm tired. But I have no desire to use. And I asked Rick to be my sponsor this time. And I've known Rick since choir the first time I was there. And, you know, Rick said, yeah. We talked about it for a while, just talking before I said, you know, I don't want to have to call you every night because I won't do it. But I want some help doing the steps. You were going to help me. Remember that's when all that happened? And so I've gone through the first three steps. I got the step study guide, right? And now I'm working on my fourth step. And I got like 30 things now. I added one today. Busy, busy. And I'm going to meetings. You know, it's I need to find some meetings in the valley. And I've been to a couple of them, and I don't like them, but it's me. I remember all the people from here because of, you know, the time before when I went to the meetings. And so I drive over here and fight the traffic, yeah, on Saturday and Sunday, and come to meetings over here. And actually, I wasn't quite honest. I did speak at one panel, and that somebody asked me, and it kind of blew my mind that he asked me. I think he was kind of like tonight, they were shorthanded. So, but anyway, I did it because I want to do my share. I want to be of service. And Kenny says when he speaks, and he's told me, you know, I've heard him speak several times, and you know, his quite closing little thing on his spiel is that if you stick around here long enough and do the things that are expected of you, your life will change. And my life is, you know, it's not as unbelievable as Kenny's, but you know, it's pretty damn good. You know what I mean? I mean, it's great. My family, my daughter, I'm flying her out here in a couple of weeks to come stay with me and for a week. I have a grandson now that I haven't even seen yet. He's 19 months old. And in October, I'll have 3 years clean. And, you know, things are just great. And Rick's working, helping me with the steps, and he's real patient and... because I'm not doing them like I should, I don't think. And he tells me I'm too hard on myself sometimes because I like to analyze every real thing I do wrong or if I think it's wrong because I don't want to do things wrong anymore. You know, I want to be a good person or I want to be, you know, a person that somebody will say, hey, you know, would you help me do my steps? Because, man, I see how you are and... You know what I mean? And that's what I want. And I only, you know, I don't have any friends. I've cut loose everybody I know. Both of them. And I all my friends are clean. Both of them. You know, but I'm cool. I'm cool with that. You know what I mean? I'm just good with it. I pray, you know, and I don't. When I was in prison, my sister sent me this a 12-step recovery Bible, and at the bottom of each page has a little thing, a little chapter about how the above page relates to recovery. And so, in prison, I'd read one page of the It Works How and Why, and I'd read one page of the Bible. I had three books stacked on top of my locker. I'd read one page of that, put it down, and read one page in the Bible, and put it down, and read whatever novel I was reading that week to go to sleep. And I did that, you know, almost got through the whole Testament. And but anyway, I get up in the morning, and if I forget, it bothers me when I'm driving, you know, running over people on the freeway, or trying to get out of somebody's way, and I'll think, oh. You know what? I didn't, and I'll thank God right then for thank you for my life and you know for another day because it's unbelievable. You know what I mean? And that thing Narcotics Anonymous too, because I mean it's all part of it. Isn't that our ultimate goal? Is to be have a relationship with our higher power. And at the end of the day, I say thanks a lot for not. I didn't kill anybody out there today, and everything went smooth and. And you know, it's just great. Like Kenny says, you know, if you stick it, it's really not. I'm so. Of course, maybe if you have less time, maybe you don't have to go to prison or spend 16 years until you know. They say you got to hit rock bottom before you want to. It took my rock bottom was real low. It was really way far at the bottom before I gave a shit. You know what I mean? And you know, my daughter was 22 years, 21, 20, something like that, before I could, you know, have anything to say to her that was worth listening to. You know, now, we talk almost every day on the phone. And actually, I'm having a little problem with her right now, but we won't get into that. But she's a sweetheart. My dad, he's got Alzheimer's now, but he only remembers the bad stuff. And I stole his car and this, that, and the other. But he's there. You know what I mean? And they're proud of me for what little I've done. My brother and his wife, they're coming out to see me. I sent him my first paycheck and he framed it. Yeah, I haven't paid taxes since 75. 75, my God. And it was great. I mean, I never saw anything wrong with it. You know, and if all that crap was legal and drugs were legal and you didn't have to rob and steal to get them, then I don't think I'd be sitting here right now, but that's not the way it is. So I'm going to continue. I want to work the steps because I want to try to be a better person and you know, have my family and my peers, you know, look after me and say, hey, that guy's all right. And that's all. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks.
Thank you.